Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you today. Why don't we stand as we sing this great song of praise? Praise Him, praise Him this morning. Let's sing this together.
Together. We're excited to have you in our second worship service of the day. Looking forward to our hour together. We will be in the Word of God. If you have a Bible, if you're at home participating, welcome. Thank you. We would encourage you to go grab a Bible or grab your phone or something that where you'll be able to get to Romans chapter 8 in just a few moments. Also, there's some info on the screen for you right now. If you'll take a moment to follow those prompts, we'd love to connect with you. If you're in the room, we're thankful that you're here, and we would invite you to take a moment to tear off the registration attached to the worship guide. Hopefully you received on the way in, and you can fill that out and then place it in the offering box as you leave a little later. We'd love for you to do so. Each week we pray for a different church. We pray for a different ministry. Our church of the week today is ARAB First Baptist Church. ARAB First Baptist Church has been without a pastor now for a little over a year. So would you pray for them, for God's will to be done among them, for them to be able to find a pastor soon, and for ministry to continue and flourish there. And then our mission partners of the week are our partners in Vermont, Trey and Robin Cates. We have partnered with them now for a few years. It's a blessing to do so. Trey pastors Faith Community Church in Barrie, Vermont, and he also is the church planter for Williamstown, Vermont, and we're helping with that church plant. And just to give you a little perspective and things to be thankful for, it might have been a little chilly this morning for you when you got up, but look outside at the sun through the stained glass right now. It's going to be a beautiful temperature. They got well over 16 inches of snow yesterday in Williamstown. So say thank you, Lord, for Alabama, right? I'm telling you. It's a blessing to be here, and so we're thankful, but we want to pray for them, and let's pray as we carry on in worship. Father God, what an honor and joy it is to come and worship you. Father, I want to thank you that this week we've been able to truly live in resurrection power, reminded of even Easter Sunday last week, Resurrection Sunday, but to stop and know that Jesus is still risen today, to know that we are still resurrection people today. We can walk new and fresh and whole in that. So God, help us to let that be new and fresh today in our hearts and minds and lives. And Father, I pray right now for Arab Church, for First Baptist there, that you'll do a work among them. Lord, that you'll guide them to a pastor to come and shepherd there. Lord, that you would give them wisdom as they prepare for that. God, that you'll bring great revival there among them. Lord, I also pray for Trey and Robin serving in Vermont. Lord, they're in a place that is less than 3% of the population knows you. God, that's hard to understand that could exist here in the U.S., but it does. And so my prayer is that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts and minds of people there in their community and in that area, that they would be drawn to you, that you would give Trey and Robin and those that are partnering with them and their congregation the opportunity to speak truth and live the gospel among others there. And God, I pray for every church in our city today. Lord, as we gather in our county, all across our city and our county, so many were guests that were there last week. Our prayer is that this week, maybe you would work in the hearts and minds of people to return and to participate and to be there. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the fact that the gospel will be proclaimed 100 times over right here in our city today and in our county. And we're thankful for that, for our partners. And so we pray for those of multiple denominations, Lord, that they would give you the glory and honor that you are due. And Father, as we move into this new message series, now made for more, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where you tell us, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. Thank you. There is no condemnation for those who are in you. We have been made for more. And so, God, we will sing about that now as we sing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing this theme to the Lord.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only.
Father God, may we no longer think that we can just lie abed in our shame, Father. God, as we continue singing praises to you and continue lifting up songs of worship to you, God, we're reminded that we are serving a God who is our firm foundation, who is our solid rock, who is our cornerstone, who where our feet are firmly planted, God, and will not be shaken. So God, as we continue lifting up praises to you, God, may we be reminded as we sing this song, as we lift up this song, you are our firm foundation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Sing this with us together. Christ is
my firm foundation.
I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing
very little to offer you, but even in your grace, as we're going to read about from Romans 8, even in your grace, you help us be able to bring a sacrifice of praise to you. So God, would you speak to us as we open your word? We have been made for more. So God, let our lives be those of worshipers. May we honor you with what we learn together today and apply to our lives. in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 8. And for the next 4 weeks, including today, we're going to walk through Romans 8. And this series is entitled Made for More. And Romans 8 will show us time and time again, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have been made for more. But here's something you need to know. In Romans chapter 8, it gives us the beauty and the power behind what God is doing in our lives. And it's going to be an exciting month to look at that. But in Romans chapter 7, Paul basically writes his testimony and part of my testimony. And honestly, he tells part of my life story. So we really have to start with Romans chapter 7 to get the full understanding of Romans chapter 8. So if you'll look in Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to begin in verse 14. This is Paul's story. Truthfully, it's part of my story. Maybe it's part of your story too. Listen to what he says, Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. Verse 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And then verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Now skip on down to verse 24 of chapter 7. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. Now let me ask you, is there anybody in the room besides Paul and me that can relate to those words from time to time, right? If you don't have your hand up, you're lying, and it's you right now. Anyway, we all can from time to time. We do the very thing we don't want to do. We don't do the very thing we know we need to do. And when you read Romans 7, it's a big old bag of depression. What we read is sad, and we think, I'm just never going to get it right. How do I get it right? What does this happen? And then, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's really the anti version of the song we sang earlier, Made for More. It's the idea that we sit around tending the grave of our lives, making a bed of shame and wallowing in it, wishing we could do better. It's the idea that we lose track of who we are and whose we are in Christ. We forget that He's already called us by name and made us new. But thanks be to God, Romans 7 is not the end of the story. You see, it was about 300 years after the scripture was put together and this was written that someone came along and decided we would add chapters and verses. I'm so glad they did, because can you imagine if we were trying to study God's word without chapters and verses? But those come from man, not from God. The words are from God. Man added the verses and chapters. And I truthfully think it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me to separate Romans 7 and 8, because if you're just reading a chapter a day and you read Romans 7, you're going to leave depressed, you're going to leave defeated, you're going to leave believing you can't do better. But once you turn the page into Romans chapter 8, Jesus shows up and He shows off. His grace shows up in power. His mercy shows up in power. The Holy Spirit shows up. God the Father adopts us as His children. So much happens in one chapter, chapter 8, and we're going to apply it to our lives this month. But the power of the cross and the risen Savior are here. Look at Romans chapter 8 and find the antidote to what I just read from Romans 7. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me stop here. If you are in Christ Jesus, you do not stand condemned. Amen? If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. I don't care what you did yesterday, last month, last week, what's been going on in your mind and heart today. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are not condemned. That should bring so much joy and gratitude to our lives. So we must stop living like it. Look at verse 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit is stronger than the law of sin and death. Sin and death is a law. Because of sin, There is death, spiritual and physical death, because sin entered the picture way back with Adam and Eve. It's a law. We're not going to change it. The law of sin and death is there, but the law of the Holy Spirit is stronger. So the real question we have to answer right up front that's going to matter for this entire series is this. Are you in Christ Jesus or not? Let me put it in simple terms. You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in. A lot of us in this room are in, but some of us in this room or some participating online or listening by the radio may not be in. You may be out. I don't mean that to offend you. I want to be realistic with you for a moment. How do you know if you're in or out? Truthfully, I've used the same illustration for this for 30 years now. It's not a new illustration from a sermon book. It's the same one I've been using over and over. I've used it here, but it works. I'm going to use it again. If you've ever heard it, pretend you haven't. So here's how you know if you're in or out. It's beautiful outside, nice temperature, but in 2 months, it's going to be hot, really, really hot. And so let's decide we're going to have a pool party right now, a church-wide fellowship, and we're all going to go from the oldest to the youngest. We're all going to buy a bathing suit. We're all going to rent out Sand Mountain Park, the water park. We'll have the lazy river, the water slides. We'll have the little water pad. We'll have all those things that are there. It's going to be great. And so we have church on that Sunday in a couple of months from now. We all run home, change into our bathing suits. We all go. We all look really nice and decent and in order, and we look great. Every last one, it's my story, so we all look good. We're all there, having a good time. It's great. We get there. Don brings his guitar, and he gets it out, and he starts singing some water songs like Row, Row, Row Your Boat, I've Got a River of Life Falling Out of Me, Deep River Woman. I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the water songs I can think of. I had to go to Lionel, but we were singing those songs. Kale comes out, and Kale's a great teacher. I love his teaching. And so Kale's going to teach you some water safety. He's going to teach you the backstroke. He's going to teach you the butterfly. He's going to teach you some things to know how to do that better. Pam, our children's minister, she's back in the children's department right now, but she loves to make things fun, so she's designed a t-shirt. We all wear a t-shirt that says we were at the First Baptist Pool Party. And I, being the good pastor, realize it cost us like $2,000 to rent that place. So we're going to pass the hat. I'm going to give a little message that says, somebody's got to pay for this water, and you help us pay for the water, and we do that together and take up a collection. You walk up next to the edge of that water, and you just take your foot, and you just dip it in like that. You say, oh, that feels good. It feels so good. We're having such a good time. But what are we not doing? Swimming. Nobody's got in. No one's in. Again, this illustration's old, but it works, so let's apply it now. You can be at the best pool party ever, dip your toe in, wear the t-shirt, know the songs, eat the food, enjoy it all, but if you don't get in, you've not gone for what it's designed to do. And when the scripture talks about being in Christ Jesus, please hear me. You can show up to church every time the doors are open, wear the best Christian t-shirt money can buy, and we'll sell 4 or 5 before the year's over. You can be a part of every fellowship. You can hear the best teaching. You can sing the best songs. You can do all the things we do at church, but still not be in Christ Jesus. See, it's not about am I in church. It's about am I in Jesus. So how do you know if you're in Jesus or not? If there has been no life change in your life, if the Holy Spirit has not regenerated you and made you new, friends, you may be in the church, but it's time to be in Jesus. Listen, and we learned a long time ago in Scripture, you can be close to Jesus and not know Jesus. Look at Judas. He was in close proximity and didn't know him. How many others, Pharisees, followed him around for a while and were very, very close to him but didn't know him. So friends, I'm thankful you're here, but your proximity's not enough. Do you know Jesus? If you've never given your life to him, right now, stop and say, Jesus, I need you. I give you my life. Would you save me? Would you make me new? Would you help me be made for more? Listen, he will gladly do that. So the scripture says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we have to decide to be in or out. And if we are in, know that you have been made for more. Let's keep reading Romans 8:3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, there's a phrase that's going to be on the wall, and it's a powerful phrase. Sin condemns you. So Jesus came and condemns sin. You may not have ever thought about that before, but it says it right here in Romans 8:4. It says, He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus condemned sin so that you and I wouldn't be in bondage to it. Verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, God's righteous requirement for our lives has been met. Now, Jenny, I asked her to play softly a song for just a moment. It's an old hymn that's been sung for many, many years. It's one of my favorites. It says, breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Many of you know it. As you're listening to that melody, I want you to listen to me for a moment in these words. Jesus came, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, you are now positionally righteous in heaven. What does that mean? It means that in heaven, in God's eyes and God's standard, because of Jesus and what he did for you, you are righteous. He sees you as righteous. That's what the scripture teaches us. But there is a big difference between positional righteousness in heaven and practical righteousness on earth and how we live our lives. And so the steps we take, that's what makes us practically righteous. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and our choice of obedience that we can be practically righteous in our lives. God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and one choice at a time. So how do we do that? We ask the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. We invest in the Word of God, and we make the next right choice in front of us. We're going to sing that little chorus in a second, but listen to this, Romans 8:5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But now here's the key. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then here's the key sentence. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So what does that mean? It means we can live by the power of the Spirit because we're in Christ Jesus. Guys, don't miss this for the simplicity of it. So this chorus says, breathe on me, breathe on me. If you know it, would you let it be your prayer? Breathe on me, breathe on me. Sing it with me as a prayer to him. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Let it be your prayer. Prayer is that today and through the rest of our scripture that your Holy Spirit would breathe on us, that we would, our lives would be ripe for your moving among us, that the ground and the soil of our lives would be tilled properly through the word, that we might receive what the Spirit wants to do in our lives today. Speak to us, please, Father, from your word. Let's carry on, friends. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have been made for more by the power of the Holy Spirit. So my question is, why do we so often settle for less? I believe it's because we don't necessarily understand our identity. Have you ever had your identity stolen? Anybody had your identity stolen? Let's see some hands. I have twice, so I guess I'm fortunate. So if you never have, or unfortunate, excuse me. The second time was in 2019. I think I talked about it at one point. But in 2019, Lily and I got a letter in the mail from Verizon. And the letter said that we had just opened a new account. And they wanted to make sure that we had done that. It was authorized correctly for another phone. And we had not opened another phone. So I took that letter and went down to the very helpful, and they were helpful and kind people at the local Verizon store just right here in town. And I took the letter to them and said, hey, it says we have another phone line. We don't have another phone line. Can you look and tell me what's going on? And so they got in the computer and began to look. And she said, it says here that you went into a Apple store in California last week and on your account charged four iPhone 11 Pro Max phones, which in 2019 was $6,000. And I said, I'm right here. I did not do that. And she says, well, I see you didn't. She said, this is not good. And I said, well, they weren't mine. That's stolen identity. And she said, well, your bill's about to come. It's going to be this first bill for $2,400. So don't pay that. I said, don't worry. I'm not paying that, you know. So the bill came, sure enough. And then it took a while working with them to get that squared away. And it became obvious we hadn't done it and we didn't do it. And somebody got in trouble on that end for doing it without any kind of ID given, just our account number to do it. And so it all got fixed a little later. But the reality is the false me had really good taste in phones, but the false me was living in a way that I do not live. And so I didn't grab a hold of that. I didn't believe in that. And I said, that's not me. I'm not going to be that. Well, in the scripture, we have this beautiful passage in Romans chapter 8 that shows the false you and the real you. And if we're not careful, the false you will take over and still live our lives in the midst of the real you, knowing Jesus, not living that out. It happens so easily for us. And so what we have to do is the same thing I had to do with the phone company, and that's take some time to work through it for the real identity to show up. And friends, in the scripture, it tells us how we are to do that and what we do. Let me share it with you this way. If you're writing things down, if you embrace your old identity, the real you will always lose. If I had just went with, well, that could have been me in California, just charge those $6,000 to me. Listen, the real me would have lost. The real you will lose every time you hold on to the false you. So let's look at that together. Romans 8, verse 9. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, that's the false you now, but in the spirit, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So if you've given your life to Jesus, if you are in him, the false you is still walking in the flesh, and the real you is walking in the spirit. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So what does that mean? The true you, if you have Jesus in your life, is now the resurrected you. It's the one that walks in the power of the resurrection. It's the one that has been made for more with our actions, with our thoughts, with our attitudes, with our decisions that we make. The false you is still walking in the flesh and making decisions the old way and in the flesh. But the new you, God has promised you that you can walk in resurrection life on this earth, and someday you will have a resurrected body. There will be a physical resurrection. Let me share with you several scriptures really quick that teach that, all from the Apostle Paul. Romans 6, verse 4. He says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life, resurrected new life. Romans 6:8 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. Resurrected, new life. We can live that. Romans 6:11. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Resurrected, new life. We can live that. So God wants us to live it out on this earth. But even more than that, there's a time coming when the Lord's going to return, and all those that have died in the Lord before us, their souls are in heaven, but their bodies are going to be resurrected and made new. That day is coming, a physical resurrection. Romans 6:5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like him. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. 1 Corinthians 15:42, so it is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. You're not only going to be raised, you'll be raised new. Your body will be made new and whole, and what a day that will be. The scripture teaches this in 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? What does that remind me of? It reminds me of last Sunday morning when the lights were out and we started and Carrie started singing, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Man, that was a powerful moment. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. We're resurrection people. In that chorus, it says, if he walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. Friends, you are a resurrection person if you know Jesus. We can walk new and whole in him. So here's the problem. We are made new, but if we're not careful, we'll still follow the old identity. That's not your identity. That's a mistaken identity. Your new identity is to be raised incorruptible in him, is to walk in the newness of him, is to make the decisions and choices and attitudes and actions based on the power of the Holy Spirit. So how does that happen? Well, it's really all about one of two things. Are we going to feed our flesh or are we going to follow the Holy Spirit? So let me ask you today, your choice. It's a daily choice, by the way. It's not a one-time choice. Today, will you feed the flesh or will you follow the Spirit? You'll have an opportunity to do that 10 times over today before the day's over. It's still early. You can feed the flesh or follow the Spirit. Tomorrow, you can start your day. Feed the flesh, have a horrible attitude, or follow the Spirit. Know who you are in Christ. You can feed the flesh, be rude and mean to people. You can follow the Spirit. Show kindness and mercy and grace to others. You can feed the flesh, make poor decisions in the work, at school, in other places, or you can feed the Spirit and follow the Spirit and walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and goodness. We can do those things. It's a daily choice, but it's a real choice. I read about this in a commentary this week in preparation, and I want to read it to you. I don't normally read from commentaries. That's not a great way to preach a sermon, but one paragraph, I want you to hear this. It says, the fact of the matter is that obeying the flesh always results in breaking God's moral law. Nevertheless, in a very real sense, a person can never break God's moral law, although he can certainly disobey God's moral law. For example, a person can climb up on a roof, tie a cape around his neck, and leap off the roof in hopes of breaking the law of gravity. However, he will quickly learn that he cannot fly. He cannot break the law of gravity, and the only thing he breaks in the end is himself while proving the law of gravity in the process. The same is true of moral actions. A person may disobey God's moral law through the flesh, but he will only prove the moral law of God to be true by breaking himself in some way via his own behavior. Now, there's power in that. You're not going to break God's law. We disobey God's law. God's law will be lived out. And so then we're the ones who suffer in the midst of that. So my question is, how do we live according to the Spirit in the midst of a world that is surrounded by fleshly living and desiring that we live in our flesh? Well, if I can get real practical with you, I'll give you a sentence that is designed to be one you can remember, but it speaks truth. And here it is. Deny the deed you want to die and feed the faith you want to find. Let me say it again. Hopefully you can just remember it that way. Deny the deed in your life you want to die and feed the faith you want to find. What does that mean? It means get practical. If you want to walk in the power of the Spirit and you don't want to feed the flesh, here's what you do. Take this word deed. Deny the deed. What deed is it? Well, I don't know what the deed is for you. Maybe in your life you struggle with some habitual sin. Maybe for you it's some attitude or thought or action. Maybe for you it's a temptation that comes your way that every time it comes it seems like you struggle to give in and so you got to find a new way. Maybe for you when your phone rings and you look at the caller ID and you know it's that one person that's either going to make you mad, make you gossip, make you say something you shouldn't, you got to figure out what to do and how to respond in that way. Maybe for you it's something going on in the workplace, at school, in your home. I don't know. But we start by realizing where it is we walk in the flesh and where we struggle. And all of us at some point probably struggle in some way. I would dare say every last one of us. And so don't feel bad about that, but come to realize that the key is to deny the deed that you want to die. You have to get rid of it. Make a plan. If you're struggling with some certain thing, or maybe you have a temptation every time you go to whatever the place is. I don't even know what it would be. Wherever you go, whenever you go there, you're tempted to live a life that you're not called to live. Well, here's how you deny the deed. Don't go there. That's not rocket science, but don't go there. Maybe for you, if you struggle in a different way, you figure out what it takes to back up from that and be smart and wise and not feeding that flesh in that certain way. And we want to follow the Holy Spirit's power. So there's a few steps to that. And the first step is always starting and understanding that it's practical. It's not just God, just help me today to do the right thing. No, it's God specifically. Will you help me when I struggle with this? Will you give me wisdom of how to respond in this way? Will you allow me to have enough sense to avoid this situation and enter this situation instead? A practical list. Feed what you want to grow. Look at Romans 8, 5, and 6 again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. So if you want to feed what you want to grow, start with your mind. Every sin you've ever committed started in your mind. Every temptation you've ever had started in your mind. Now, it may only be there for a split second and then lived out, but that's where it starts. So we start by focusing, as it says, according to the Spirit, set our minds on things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So here's my question. How do you set the mind on the Spirit? Well, you start with God's word. God's word is truth. From Genesis to Revelation, every word in there, the scripture says that it is in Hebrews chapter 4, that it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So the Bible, the words themselves are alive, and they will meet you where you are in your life circumstance. The scripture also tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that mean? That God gave us his word so that we could be taught, rebuked, corrected, and trained in a way that we could live for him and live it out in our lives. So don't tell me you want to put your mind on the Spirit and you won't open your Bible. Because you don't want to put your mind on the Spirit, you're letting the flesh win every time. So if we say we want to put our minds on the Holy Spirit, we must start with the Word of God. If you're not sure where to start, our website, albervillefbc.church, under Next Steps, there's a lot of helps for how to read the Bible, questions to ask when you read it, how to apply it to your life. If that's not enough to help you, come to us. We'll be glad to help you and to have someone that will sit down with you and help you learn how to study God's Word and commit to be in there. If you do not own a copy of a Bible, we will gladly give you one before you leave today. Let us know and we will do that. If you have a smartphone, a tablet, or a computer, go download like the YouVersion, Y-O-U version Bible. It's been downloaded well over a billion times around the world, and it has so many translations and devotions and helps for you. It's a great resource, and it's absolutely free. There is zero excuse. And by the way, you can press a button. If you don't read well, don't be ashamed of that. It's okay. If you don't read very well, you can press a button on that app, and it will read it out loud to you. There is zero excuse to not being able to read God's Word. Do you know how many audio Bibles are out there? Did you know you can get Morgan Freeman reading the Bible to you out loud? It's kind of weird, but you can. I mean, there's all kinds of versions out there. So don't let your inability to read very well, listen, friends, don't be ashamed of that, but you can take in God's Word We can help you with that. But if you can work through that pretty well, get you a copy of a Bible. Sit down. Use some key questions to help you. We can help you with those there on the website. But if you really want to get your mind on the Spirit, we start with the Word of God. But the second thing, and we'll have a whole message about this someday. We don't have time today. The second way to put your mind on the Spirit, it all begins with grace. And grace is all about gratitude as well. So it's really about gratitude. Start your day and have gratitude checkpoints all throughout your day. Back in 2020, we encouraged everybody to start a gratitude journal. And every day, I'd take a notebook or a piece of paper or something and just write down a few things you're thankful for. It can be random things, whatever the case may be, but to keep that, I hope some of you may still be doing that, but a lot of us did a few years ago. And here's the point of that. If we're not purposeful in setting our mind on the Spirit, if we're not purposeful in what we're grateful for, it just slips around us really quickly. Let's practice it right now. What are you grateful for today? Let's just hear a few of those things. What are you grateful for today? Out loud. Family. What are you grateful for? Health. What else?
Job.
Place to live. Who came in the vehicle today? You may live close enough to walk, but if you came in a vehicle today, you are of the 7% of the wealthiest people in the world because you own a vehicle. Something to be thankful for. How many of you had a place to sleep last night? It might have been hot. You might have been cold. It might not be perfect. You might have some needs. But if you had a place to sleep and a roof over your head, we are blessed beyond measure. How many of you had a little something to eat this morning? Or your stomach's telling you you're going to eat a little something here in just a minute when we're done. And we don't have a scarcity mindset that no one's going to feed me and I have nothing. Listen, what a blessing that is, and we've been blessed beyond measure. If you have someone sitting beside you that you know and love, what a blessing that is. If you've got someone at home that you know and love, if you, maybe that person's gone on to be with the Lord, but oh, you had an incredible life of blessing with them, how much we have to be thankful. On and on and on we could go. But a life of gratitude allows the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. So set your mind on the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Set your mind on the Holy Spirit through living a life of gratitude. And then lastly, I would just say, let's try to live the fruit of the Spirit in a practical way. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It says, against such things there is no law. Remember, we're talking about the law here. The law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit. Listen, friends. The law of sin and death can't win out over the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So make a renewed commitment to live that out. So it really goes back today to this. The false identity, first of all, if you're a believer, then your real identity is that you are righteous. You're positionally righteous. But if we don't live practically righteous, it means we're following the false identity and not the new real identity. So what we do is we stop and we repent. We say, God, I want my actions on this earth to match my status in heaven. Let me say that again. We want our actions and life on this earth to match the status that we are righteous before God's eyes in heaven because of Jesus. And that begins through following and setting our minds on the Spirit. And the way we do that, again, the Word of God, we do that through gratitude. We do it by seeking to live it out one step at a time. Here's how you become righteous. Physically righteous. It's the next right choice in front of you. Whatever it is. The next right step in front of you. God's word and the next right step. Would you bow with me for just a moment? For a little moment of privacy as we come to the end of our service. You have an identity. If you know Jesus, you have a new identity. You've been made for more. And I really want to encourage you to embrace that. Now, if you're like Paul, and you're like me, there are definitely times where you do not do what you want to do, and you do the things you don't want to do. There are definitely times we walk in the flesh and not according to the Spirit. The goal really here is really not perfection. The goal is to understand that what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives, we can walk new and whole and clean in Him, and we have a choice to make with our attitudes, with our actions, with our lives. So with your heads bowed right now, would you make that choice? Would you take a second to confess to the Lord if you've been maybe feeding the flesh more than following the Spirit? That's private between you and the Lord. But would you take a second to ask Him to help you with that? Would you make a renewed commitment to the Word of God? Would you make a renewed commitment to live a life of gratitude? Oh, we've been blessed. And then to set our minds on the Spirit. We have been made for so much more than just existing. Father God, I pray in my own life that I could walk out Romans 8 a lot more and Romans 7 a lot less. And God, my prayer is that in my moments of wallowing in the bed of shame or my own self-doubt or just pity parties, whatever comes along for all of us from time to time, God, that I will always be reminded of how You've blessed and the gratefulness for Your salvation, for Your mercy, for Your new life, for what You're doing in our lives. And Father, I pray that we could follow the Holy Spirit's lead. Lord, I want people to see the fruit of the Spirit in my life and not just the fruit of Chris Johnson. I don't always get that right. Father, help us each to have a desire because we are new in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.